Welcome to the session of Bible Talk. A strange title for today's study. Do you have a straight stick or a crooked stick? I've seen many staffs that people use hiking. I've seen many canes that people use for walking. Sometimes they're straight, sometimes they're crooked. But this has nothing to do with that. We're talking about something altogether different. The question has often been asked. It's an old, old proverb. How can you tell whether a stick is straight or crooked? Well, you know, we might call a committee to look at it, make a decision. We might take a vote on it if several people are present. There are many different things that people might do in regard to that, but the old proverb says, the way to tell whether a stick is crooked is to lay a straight stick beside it. You know, treasury agents are not taught to understand and to look at it by means of recognition. Every kind of counterfeit bill there may be made. No. They're told to examine. They're led to examine. They're taught to examine fully, completely, the legitimate bill. And then, anything that deviates from that, they know to be counterfeit. There are so many, many different ways of counterfeiting, but if you know one thing, if you know what a good bill looks like through and through and through, you'll know what one is that's counterfeited. I want us to apply that same thing to religion. I want us to see some things that God uses. You know, the crooked stick is man's effort to bend what God said to accommodate himself. Makes him feel good. He likes that. The straight stick is what God has given us, the Bible. Now, this is what we're going to be judged by. We must become fully aware of what it says. And so what we need to do is to take some sticks that men have crooked and caught many people by them by telling them, oh, this is a straight stick. When indeed it is measured by the Word of God, it is not straight at all. It may be just a little crooked, but crooked is crooked. We want to see the right stick, the one that is straight. The Apostle Paul reminded the people at Philippi. In Philippi, he says, nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same things. Now, the word rule there is a Greek word which means a rod or a reed that is used for measuring. And of course, it had to be absolutely straight. You couldn't call a committee on it. You couldn't measure the diameter of it. You couldn't have the people to vote about it. What we walk by is God's rule. And so he says, let's all mind the same rule. Reminds me of the prayer of Jesus. Jesus said, and this is his true prayer, not the one that people usually call the Lord's Prayer, because that wasn't a prayer at all. That was an example. When Jesus said, forgive us our sins, he couldn't have been praying that. He had no sin to be forgiven. He's giving them an example of how to pray, teaching them to pray. But in John 17, Jesus is praying earnestly himself. And he prays that all people will follow the same rule. Read that great prayer sometime for yourself. He prays for, well, it's only a few hours until his death. But he prays for his disciples. He prays for those who will hear his disciples, but not much for himself at all. But he does pray for the disciples that they might all speak the same thing. And he prays for those who hear that they might all hear the same thing. That's the only grounds for man's salvation. Man can't be good enough to be saved. Man can't earn his salvation. Man is going to be judged. He's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10. And as Paul tells the people at Philippi, we had better be walking by the same rule. That's a straight stick. Didn't David say something about the word of the Lord is pure? The word of the Lord is simple? Well, absolutely. This book is not hard to understand. You don't have to lay anything beside it to tell that it's straight because it gives its own testimony. What does the Bible say about itself? The Bible claims to be a perfect book. The Bible says of itself that it is the legitimate rule, the reed, the rod. And for that reason, we should all measure everything using the same measuring stick. Now, we have denominationalism today because people who all claim to believe this same book do not use it as a reed. They use the counsels of men, the creeds of men. They use the determinations of men that have been found at various places, the teachings of men. No, no. It must be this book. This is the only reed. Now let's look at things. The way that so many times people want to crook, to twist God's reed, God's straight stick, into something that's just a little bit crooked. Take, for example, the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. You hear people say, now, preacher, you know, God wants His children to be happy. They're in a bad marriage, and, you know, both of them are unhappy, and each is driving the other up the wall, and they're a bad influence on the children, and God doesn't want it that way. Well, He doesn't. But at the same time, He wants you to do what He told you to do about the marriage. You take a marriage and make it happy. I had two friends, each to talk to me, man and wife. They got a divorce. The man didn't want one, the husband. The wife did want one. And I sat down and talked to them very frankly. And I said to her, because these were the objections she had against him, I said, do you remember that you promised God in the presence of witnesses that you would live together for better or for worse? Now you say He's worse, but you said for better or for worse. In sickness or in health. You say He's sick, yes, but you said in sickness and in health. Adversity or prosperity. He doesn't have any money. But you said in adversity or prosperity. And whichever it is of those, you use it, you live with it, you live by it, till death does us part. Well, the woman talked to the elders of the church where she was attending, and they said, well, this is all right. Yeah, you have a right to get divorced and be happy. Well, that woman's going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged by the straight. Those elders are going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and be judged by the straight stick. Other times people say, well, you know, we were so young when we got married, we didn't really know what we were doing, and now that we're mature, we think we need to separate, and each one of us try to find a life of our own, and of course, meeting someone that we may fall in love with and marry. People say, now listen, the rules you're trying to talk about to us that forbid marriage, divorce, and remarriage are Old Testament laws. They were nailed to the cross. No, they were not Old Testament laws. Moses said, if a man doesn't want to stay in the marriage, he can give his wife a writing of divorcement for any cause. If he thinks she hasn't swept the floor properly, if she burned the bread, you know, any cause. That was the law of the Old Testament. God didn't want it that way, but that's what He allowed them to do under an imperfect law. Well, if we say, we just can't take anything that is given before the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, then think of all the things we would have to give up. The personal teaching of Jesus was the teaching of what was going to be true in the next age, the Christian age. We'd have to throw out multitudes of things if we said, well, now this was all said before Jesus died on the cross. There are others who would say, this, that, whatever. Let's look at what God says. Measure those things by the straight rule. It'll show us just how crooked these sticks are that other people are using. In Matthew 19, they came to Jesus and they said, is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for any and every cause? And Jesus said, have you not read from the beginning? It was not so. God did not have that in mind in the patriarchal age. At the very beginning, since Adam and Eve, God did not have that in mind. God did not want that. They say, well, Moses, according to his law, said that we could put away our wives, write them a record of divorcement. Jesus said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses suffered you to do so, but I say unto you, Jesus, you see, His words are true. His words make up the straight rule. I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife and marry another, except it be for fornication, commits adultery. And whoever marries her that is put away commits adultery. Now, all these other things that we have looked at obviously are crooked sticks. Well, they may look fine. Someone may hold up the one that says, God wants you to be happy. Someone may hold up a stick that says, well, he's sick, he's no good, he won't work, and he's using all my money. You still have this as a straight stick. Dear friends, when you stand before the judgment bar of Christ, the straight stick will be the stick that is used. There are others who try to bend the stick just a little bit by saying, when we worship God, aren't we entitled to do whatever we want to do? Whatever makes us feel good, whatever seems to be spiritual in nature? Well, I know that Jesus said in John 14, verse 24, to the woman from Samaria, no, the time has come that we're not going to worship God on Mount Gerizim where you worship, nor in Jerusalem where the Jews have always worshipped. A new day has come. We now must worship God in spirit, that is, with the right mind, the right attitude, in truth, that is, with a straight stick. Worship in spirit and truth. And here's what he says, for God seeketh such to worship Him. And so when you think about idols of worship, how do they measure up to the straight stick? Take, for example, the Lord's Supper. Has God not appointed a time and a way to take the Lord's Supper? the largest religious group in the world claiming to be Christian does not partake of the Lord's Supper in the way the Lord taught it. The priest gives a wafer to the congregant. He drinks the wine himself. When Jesus gave it, He broke the bread and they all broke from it, and He drank the cup and they all drank from it. And when the Apostle Paul gave us the example of what Jesus had told him, he said this bread represents His body, this cup represents His blood. He said, examine yourselves. Anyone that would eat in a manner not pleasing God is calling damnation upon himself. Now that's a straight stick. The Lord's Supper is to be observed every first day of the week. Acts 20 verse 7 says, upon the first day of the week when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached to them. Why did they gather? Break bread. When was it? The first day of the week. Now, there's another verse I want to mention, and we'll come back to it a little bit later. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 1 and 2. Paul said, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye, upon every first day of the week. When the disciples gather, when did they assemble to worship? In that day. Guided by inspiration, inspired men, on the first day of the week. Not just on the first day of the week, every first day of the week. Now, when someone will take something like the Lord's Supper and say, oh, but you know, when we go to the woods and we celebrate on Saturday night, it just seems so spiritual. Oh, I remember sitting around a campfire, and we studied about the Lord's Supper, and we all participated in the Lord's Supper out there around the campfire. Where was the congregation? Well, most of them back at home waiting for the first day of the week in order that they might do it in the way God said do it. It's become quite in vogue nowadays. When a marriage takes place, that there be a place for the now husband and wife to kneel and partake of the Lord's Supper. Now, I've heard of congregations that not only the new husband and wife partake of the Lord's Supper, but it's served to the entire congregation that has met for the ceremony. Now, let me ask you, it doesn't matter how that may seem as to being spiritual, or how much that must move you. You have human emotions, you know. What does the straight stick say about it? This is the stick you're going to be measured by, and it says the Lord's Supper is only for the first day of the week, and it is for every first day of the week. Look at another stick where men have bent it a little bit in order that it might include their desires. Instrument of music and worship. Somebody says, oh, it is so beautiful. Somebody else says, you know, it attracts so many people. Somebody says, well, young people love it so much that, you know, if we don't start using instrumental music, we will not be able to keep our young people. On and on and on, the crooked stick. A lot of people can't sing well. Sounds like a bunch of rats squealing in a mousetrap. I don't care what you say about it. It is in this book that we find the straight stick. The straight stick says that we are to worship God in music in this way. In Ephesians 5:29, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. Colossians 3:16, Nevertheless, whereunto we've already attained, what do? We sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We sing with grace in our hearts to the Lord. Hebrews 13:15. What does God desire when we lift up our voices in praise to Him? He desires the fruit of our lips. Somebody says, but, you know, they had it in the Old Testament, and God didn't say anywhere, don't use it, and it's going to be used in heaven. None of those meet the streets, did you see? In the Old Testament, the people wanted it. God let them have it. Now, when we talk about instrumental music, we're talking about a physical thing. When we receive our new bodies and go to heaven, we will not be material things. This will not be a material body, a new made body, because flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of heaven. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 2:15, when he's talking about the necessity of the resurrection of the body. Now here are all the righteous who have lived from the very first Adam to the very last before Jesus comes back. They are now in a spiritual body. What do they need with a physical instrument of music? You know, a brass trumpet? A stringed guitar? A keyed organ or piano? What's ridiculous? Let's learn. God has told us what to use, and we must do it God's way, because that is the straight stick. And the straight stick is what we've been measured by, not the crooked stick. I don't care how many times we think we can justify crooking the stick just a little bit. It is not going to work. Well, we could look at a few more. There are those who say, preacher, we need to include women in the public work and worship of the church. You know, women today are intelligent. They're well educated. Nobody can know that better than I do. My wife is more intelligent than I am. And she has a higher degree of education than I have. Now, she never holds it over me. She never uses it to try to overrule what I am saying when I'm teaching the Word of God. I don't doubt that women are intelligent. I don't doubt we have many well-educated women. Oh, there are other things that are said as well. We want women because we're going to lose so much of our membership. You know, membership in most churches nowadays is far more female than male. We're going to lose all these women. A woman can appeal to a woman better than a man can. You can go on and on and on with all these bent sticks. What do they amount to? Just one thing. A bent stick. Now, what does God say about the work and worship of the church publicly? God says, 1 Timothy 2:8, I will, therefore, that the men pray everywhere. Where men and women are present, the man must be the one to pray, and the others follow him. Some people say, well, how do you follow? You know what it's like, don't you? If you ever go to a church service and somebody says, Brother so-and-so is going to lead our opening prayer. Well, you know what leading means. What about the passage that says, a little further down, verses 12 and 13? Let's include verse 11 in it. God's rule says, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor in any other way to have authority over the men. Somebody says, now wait a minute, preacher. It says usurp authority. If she's given that authority, then it's all right. The only problem with that is the word usurp is not in the Greek text. This doesn't mean a woman takes it away from a man and then uses it herself. No. It says she cannot be in a position where she teaches over men. Elders, preachers, nobody else can give her the right to do, the authority to do, what God has said she can't do. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 34 and 35. We have the picture here of the church at worship. We have men who are praying and prophesying before the entire congregation. But then when it comes to women, before the entire congregation. Verses 34 and 35. God says, I do not permit a woman to speak. That is, like they're speaking, like the men are speaking. I don't permit a woman to speak. If she wants to know, let her ask her husband at home. I had large extended families in those days. All of them had homes in an extended sense. They could easily ask at home what was being said, what they had not understood. Now that's the straight stick. And that's the stick God is going to use to judge us by. You know, we could go through probably two or three dozen of these things, but it all comes back to the same thing. Walk with the same rule. Mind the same judgment. We work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2:11 and 12. And then verse 16 says that we are to be examples in a crooked and perverse generation. Generation is crooked. Needs a straight stick. You know, in Acts 2, when the disciples were assembled and the crowd was there and these disciples, apostles, were preaching to them. They cried out to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And they were told, repent and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We're told later, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Use the straight stick, friend. It all starts and stops right there.